Hi again, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. You are listening to Faith in Action. It's quite the show today, and it's just so wonderful that we are able to bring into the studio and on the phone two individuals who served our country during the Vietnam conflict. And here we just celebrated Veterans Day, so it's just kind of providential that we have this opportunity to share this incredible story of two people who connected in Vietnam and then 5 decades later found each other again. So again, in the studio with me is Don Stevens, longtime friend. I'm sure his mother and my mother both grew up in St. Francis Parish, so they knew each other. And then on the phone with me is Frank Moss, who, when we were off the air, and he had mentioned in the first segment that he graduated from East High School. Well, I graduated from East in 1970, and his brother, Paul, is a classmate of mine. And again, just jaw-dropping, the connections we can find when we do this show. And as the listeners know, the show is pretty much all about me and my relationships with all these people I managed to bring on the shows. So it's great fun to find those kinds of connections. So, Don, kind of share with the listeners a little bit, as you did in the first segment, is you're in the hospital, and in walks this guy. You've never seen him before, and he is there because your mom is concerned.
Yep, mom is concerned, and as Frank has said, you know, they're putting, he was found out about the story through his wife, and I go back where I'm in the hospital. I'm sitting there about 30 days, and about the third week into my recovery, you don't know anybody next to you because everybody's in the same position. Some people are conscious, some other people are non-conscious, and so it's quite a situation of healing, and in comes this guy to visit me. And I'm wondering, who is this guy? Is he a doctor? Is he, what's this guy going to do? Or am I going to be questioned about what happened? And he introduces himself and tells me he's from Sioux City, Iowa, and a little bit about, he's there to check on me because of the relationship of my mother and his wife. And, you know, when you're 8, 10, 12,000 miles from home, in a situation that is a war situation, it's almost like, holy cow, family is here. I've got somebody to talk to. Somebody from Sioux City. The good Lord has opened up doors and brought me a face from home. And it was just an unbelievable emotional experience for me in trying to put everything together and meet a young guy in the same situation as I was that took the time out, traveling probably 10 miles in a very congested city with a Jeep to try to find his way to a hospital to see some guy he didn't know anything about, but this guy was from Sioux City that he was coming to see. So long-lost brother started our first relationship that he came to need. You know, the good Lord says, take care of those in the hospital, visit those in need, take care of those who need the most. And Frank was my emotional support for those few hours that we were able to visit. It was just a touching emotional event that it's hard to explain to people who have never been there. People say to me, well, what was Vietnam like? Well, you can't explain to the people that were never there, because there's not enough you could say to make them understand. And to the people that were there, you don't need to explain, because they don't want to talk to you about it, because they were understanding it all too well. But here's a guy that we were able to talk and find out. We're from home. We're very close, living close to each other. And lo and behold, I'm here to help you, Don.
That is just remarkable. And, you know, most of our listeners would not be surprised that you did reach out to Don, Frank. But I know we all know people in our lives that if they're asked to do something, they go, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And especially when you're located in a war zone, you could have easily said, well, you know, I just not real comfortable putting myself at risk, going to some hospital, finding some guy from Sioux City. What was the impetus for you to say to yourself, besides your lovely wife, Darlene, going, yeah, would you please do this? Because, you know, Don's mother is concerned. What was the impetus to do it? Because you could have said no, or just said, I just can't do this.
Well, just to be not really any help or anything, but just to get some word back here to the States that, you know, yeah, he's okay.
And that really speaks volumes of you, Frank, you know, just that whole idea of assuring the people back in the States that things were okay. I mean, yes, you know, he was in the hospital, but to assure his mom, and of course, as a mother myself, I totally get it, that must have been huge. And Don, maybe you can even tell the listeners what that meant to your mom, because I'm sure she shared with you over the years what that meant to her.
Absolutely. I mean, mom felt that, you know, seeing the war, this was the first war that was on television. And the atrocity of this war was terrible. All you could see is the dead being carried away, the wounded, the loss of limbs. So mom had no idea what it was, how it was, or what condition it was. So for my mother to have, as you know, as a parent, you know how you ache for your children. So for my mother, who was praying for me all the time, and all of those Polish people at St. Francis Church, their prayers were out there protecting all of us. But for her to find out that, you know, for the most part, I was fine. I would survive, and it wasn't a big deal, and there was nothing that would be that critical that took place during that period of time that would have affected me. So I'm sure when she told me and we were talking about it, the relief was unbelievable. Now, I must say, every time I wrote home to my mother, you know, I'd tell her, you'd tell her about the beauty of the things, or you'd say, I went out there and I saw a waterfall, or today this is what happened. You never wanted to create an aching heart with more pain. So she gave me all those letters when I came back, and one of those letters was when she told me that Darlene had told her that Frank had visited, that it was, she cried.
Yeah.
And it was just such a beautiful story she was able to tell me about what Darlene had done and how what Frank had gone out of the way to do, that it made her feel so much more comfortable.
It's so interesting, Don, that you mentioned that this was a war that was on television, and my husband Dean served during that time, but he was in Alaska during the war instead of in Vietnam. But his younger brother, who's about 12 years younger than he was at the time, so that would put him about 6 or 7 years old, told me one day that he remembers watching television and just sobbing and going to find his mother and going, is my brother in that? And of course, then she had to explain to him that no, he was in Alaska and so not in there. But the impact that the war had on the individuals that were back here in this country is almost unbelievable when you think about it, because we saw everything so immediate, and that was so different from World War II, which did not have the same level. And Frank is agreeing with me as well. It's just a different dynamic at that time. And so, yeah, the power of television to bring that home to the viewers was really paramount in people understanding what war was really like. And so, Frank, you visit Don and you chat, and you know, you explain to him why you're there, and then how often did you see each other? Did you just see each other that one time?
It was just that one time, and then moved back here, and we ended up, like he said, living within a mile, and we had different friends who saw each other. So, you know, the names went back and forth, but just the light didn't go on.
There you go. The light didn't go off. The names were out there, but the light didn't go off.
Yeah.
And really, when you look at the names, Don Stevens, Frank Moss, those aren't like incredibly unusual names. They are somewhat common, Stevens and Moss, common here in Sioux City. So the connection more than likely wouldn't have been made right away. And Don, you kind of alluded to that. You know, you're back here in Sioux City now. You know, you're working, you're married. Now the family comes around. And, well, how did you then connect with Frank?
Well, unbelievable. But let me go back one step and remember, as you were saying, you know, the Dean's younger brother saw the war on TV, and so as we were, as we came home, it wasn't like it was today, where, you know, you're, the parades and the flags are flying. An example is I left, got to Fort Lewis, Washington. There was no counseling. It says, here's your steak dinner. Let's put you in dress uniform, sign your papers, and you're going home. So nobody asked how you felt. Nobody even thought about post-traumatic stress. Nobody felt about anything, and you were just sent home. So I went from Fort Lewis, Washington to Denver, and while I was in Denver, I was lying on a bench getting some rest before my flight home, and two policemen came over, and one of them with a baton hit me on the foot and said, get out of my airport, using a vernacular, and said, you baby killers, we don't want you around here. I said, well, I'm waiting for my flight, and said, well, make sure you don't go anywhere but to your flight. We want you out of here. That was my greeting home. So when I got home, I, like most of the other people, just didn't want to talk about it. You took your uniform off. Even in Sioux City, there were protests going down at the federal building. I know federal judge Don O'Brien and my dad knew each other, and my dad was going down there in this big protest right in the federal building, and Judge O'Brien was confronted about this. So this went on all over the world. Now, you also take it that you send 18-year-old kids over to a war in the jungle far away, and you give them a weapon, and you see the worst and worst of humanity that took place. And these kids that did come home, they didn't come home the same. You can't take an 18-year-old kid, tell him to go out there and kill people and march around in the jungle and see the brutality of war as it took place and have them come home normal. They're still in the streets. They're living out in California in tents. They're living in other cities in tents. They've never been able to adapt to their life. Divorces are tremendous among Vietnam veterans. They couldn't cope. A story about myself is, so I came home, and then I went to work, and I was doing my things, and then I met my wonderful wife, Mary, and on one of our first dates, we were out at the Hamilton Mall, and there used to be a theater out there, if you remember, a place to eat, and a car backfired, and my wife looked at me, and I was on the ground. My girlfriend at that time, my dating, and she looked at me as I was on the ground, and I was going under a car because I thought artillery fire was coming in. And so you just don't understand how you're taken care of like that. And Agent Orange was poured on you. And these people, there were so many things that took place during that period of time that make you, this point I'm getting to, make you want to forget. And that is God's way of protecting many people. You put a barrier around things you don't want to remember. And I locked out the war shortly after I came home, and I never talked about it. And I never thought about it. I never thought about Frank. I forgot about Frank. His kind deed, I came home, I locked it all out of my life. I didn't want to think about the war.
And there you go, listeners. But obviously, Frank and Don do make a connection in an unusual way. And so we want you to stay tuned to Faith in Action, because we are going to be right back with more on this story.